Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we're going to read the Bible.
And then we are going to talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday, average, normal, thinking people like me and you.
Right on.
John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We're going to stop right away.
Let's just dice this up for a second. Yes.
So as we left off on the last podcast, as he's speaking about coming from heaven and God being his witness, many are putting their faith in him from amongst this group of listeners.
Right.
And it's to those Jews who were starting to believe that Jesus almost has this parenthetical comment in verse 31.
There you go, using big words in this podcast.
It's like an aside where you take a break from the thing you were saying and then you just say, hey, you guys, check this out.
Yeah.
And this is the comment, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. It's like an encouragement.
It is.
If you can sense the belief developing within them, and he says, okay, now here's the thing. Don't just keep it there. Don't just hold with, oh, I believe.
Right.
As we sign off every one of these podcasts, like, you know, go do what it says.
Don't
hear
merely
the word. Don't just listen. Go do what it says. And so hold to my teachings. Get a grip on them. Hold to them. And if you do that, you are one of my disciples.
Right.
And that is going to allow you to know the truth and to be set free by it.
This passage of scripture, I like any time Jesus uses the if-then statements, because those things are very cut and dry, very black and white to me, and that's just kind of how I roll. Some people are Proverbs people. Some people are Psalm people. They kind of meander their way. I am a proverb person. Just hit me over the head with it. And if-then statements are very cut and dry for me, which is why I love this passage so much. You'd think, based off of Western Christianity, these people in verse 30,
already good to go.
They've already believed in him. Okay, let's just stop there. Close the Bible. Yay! And yet Jesus is saying to them, great, you've believed in me, but if you believe in me, you will hold to my teaching. If you hold to my teaching, then you will be my disciple.
If then.
Yes. If you are my disciple, then you will know the truth. And if you know the truth, then you will be set free.
So if you don't do any of those things, what does it mean?
Nothing.
Nothing good anyway.
Nothing good.
No freedom.
Right. No freedom.
No knowledge of the truth.
Exactly. So
just generic belief.
Right. If you have generic belief, but then that belief doesn't move you to hold to this thing and to be obedient to this thing so that you know this truth, what good is it?
Yeah. Every preacher everywhere, every Sunday is probably trying to get people to just take action.
Yes.
With the things that they're reading out of Scripture or hearing from Scripture.
This is
true. Jesus is doing that right here.
Yes.
Verse 33, they answered him, "We're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been slaves to anyone." They say this because, you know, he talked to them about being set free there in verse 32. So then they say, "How can you say that we'll be set free? I mean, I think we're already free. We're not slaves." Jesus replied in verse 34, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And that's the biggest reason Jesus came.
Correct.
There's a sin problem that Jesus is trying to reconcile people to God, trying to get the sin that separates us from God out of our lives.
And if we could fix it, we would have.
Right.
So the law doesn't fix it.
Restored and unified with God. Now, verse 35, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're ready to kill me. Yikes.
Right.
And it's because, he says in verse 37, you have no room for my word.
Oh. And he's speaking to a people that pride themselves on knowing the words of God.
Yeah, I mean, we've all got to be really careful.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's really so convicting.
The more we get into the scriptures, the more sermons or lessons or things that we hear, the more learned we get. That's great. But knowledge can puff up, and it can leave us into a space where the Spirit, which, again, blows where it wants, reveals what it wants, and the time it wants. We cannot bridle it. If we get to a spot where we cannot learn anymore, we cannot be directed anymore, we've got no room for the word anymore, we find ourselves in a really bad spot. Verse 38, I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Mm. Abraham's our father, they answered.
Right.
If you were Abraham's children, Jesus said, then you would do the things Abraham did. Mm. Abraham was very faithful, right? As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things that your father does. And yet he's already identified that Abraham's probably not their father.
Right.
So then they're like, well, what does he mean? And they say, we are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Mm. And then he's going to go get him. Ivy, you want to pick it up in verse 42?
I sure will. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say.
You have no room. Mm-hmm.
You belong to your father, the devil.
Now he did it.
And you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so, no, there's no putting this back in the bottle.
No,
right?
No.
Jesus identifies their chief issue. One, they're already full. They have no room left to hear the word of God.
And right.
The father that they think they have, that honest to goodness they thought they had, sincerity does not equal truth. They would sincerely have said, oh, God's our father.
Right.
Or Abraham, at the very least. Because they said, we're children of Abraham. Then they switched up and said, well, God's our really only true father. And Jesus says, wrong on both accounts. If Abraham were your father, you would have done things Abraham does, which is be faithful to the words of God. And if God were your father, you wouldn't be trying to kill the person who God sent to tell you to repent.
Right. Yes.
So God can't be your father. What kind of father encourages killing and murder?
Right.
I'll tell you one who's been doing it since the very beginning.
Verse 44.
And then he says, that's the devil.
You belong to your father, the devil.
And you know the first appearance of the devil or that...
The accuser,
Or our adversary makes in Scripture is in in Genesis chapter 3.
Right.
In the garden where in the form of a serpent, he lies to Adam and Eve and tries to tell them that, you know, essentially God is trying to hold back good things from you and you should be able to eat from that one tree that he told you not to eat from. And when they ate from it, they sinned and the consequence of sin is death.
Right.
And the adversary knows that. The devil knows that. And so when he tricks Adam and Eve in the beginning, he is murdering them spiritually.
Right.
Right.
And we have all been given the legacy of death.
Murderer from the beginning.
Right.
And then so Jesus says, after he says, hey, you're listening to your father who was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. When someone does speak truth to you, you're going to have a hard time with it. Because it's contradictory to the language that you've become most fluent in. Let me just ask a question here. Verse 46, can any of you prove me guilty of sin?
Right.
Can you do it?
Right.
Imagine that. Because none of us would be able to say that. None of us can
no.
stand in front
oh
of
my
the cross
gosh.
And say, can anybody prove me guilty of sin? Because that would take just a moment.
Right.
And they would have
nanoseconds.
Like, do you want alphabetically or chronologically?
is this timeline fluid or
topical,
linear?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
It's quite a statement. It says a lot about the confidence that Jesus had.
Right.
And that he knew he was doing right. You put yourself out there when you say something like that.
Yes, you do.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, he who belongs to God hears what God says. And the reason you don't hear is because you don't belong to God. And this is really hard for them because it's their whole life is wrapped up into being teachers of the law of Moses and of God. Incredibly offended.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're going to have a retort for that.
They are. Starting at verse 48, the Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" To which Jesus replies in verse 49.
So maybe this is their answer to Jesus' question, can anyone find any sin, prove me guilty of any sin?
Right. Maybe it's because you're a half-breed or you're demon-possessed. Yeah. "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." At this, they exclaimed, "Now we know you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?"
In other words, they never made these kind of claims.
Right.
"And so do you think you're greater than those guys?"
Right. Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and he was glad. Yet you are not 50 years old," they said to him, "and you have seen Abraham. Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Wow.
Yeah.
How dramatic.
Yeah. You know, if they hadn't any specific allegations to make against the sinfulness of Jesus or about the sinfulness of Jesus, pretty sure that after this last part of chapter,
this interaction
eight,
here,
this one in their mind was probably, okay, now I've got proof.
The sealed his fate, right.
Now I've got proof. Now you are blaspheming. You are calling yourself God.
Mm-hmm.
Because the statement, I am, reminds you of what?
God's name.
Right? What did God tell Moses? When Moses said,
am.
Well, what should I tell them your
I
name
am
is?
If who
say,
I am, yes.
Say what God told you to lead these people out of Egypt.
Right.
Tell them.
I am.
And Jesus
I am who
said,
sent you.
In verse 58, before Abraham was born, I am. So that is blasphemy, right? That is, unless it's true.
Right.
Right. And so they do what they thought right. They pick up stones to stone him. And there is probably an irreparable chasm now between the religious establishment and Jesus the Christ.
Right.
At this point.
Wow.
He calls them liars.
Right.
He tells them they don't know God.
Their father is Satan.
Their father is Satan. And he says, the reason you don't know me, by the way, I am.
Mm.
It's because you don't know God. I
right.
know you don't know God because you don't know me. Because you've been arguing with me now for chapter after chapter. Interaction after
right.
interaction.
Yes.
Calling me demon-possessed, right?
Right. calling me illegitimate or a half-breed or anything they can. Yeah,
clearly you don't really know me.
Right. Well, that was action-packed. Thanks again for joining us. And as our reminder always,
do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Thanks for listening.